Coming to you live by way of tape recording with Mark Wells of Preferred Financial. My friends tell me I have a face for radio. And Kerry Deese, Ninja Processor, fending off those evil underwriters who want to turn your loan down. Across the ether, at the speed of light, it's the mortgage moment. Yes, that's right. We are live by way of tape recording. While you're up way too early this Saturday morning, I'm in home in bed enjoying sleeping in. This is our inaugural show, which is probably why we are live by way of tape recording. If we say something wrong, Angelo just erases the tape. If we speak a word not allowed by the FCC, it gets edited out. If there is an awkward silence in the middle of our show, Angelo makes it go away with the click of a button. We even have backup here today. If a question comes up that we can't answer, we'll put Jeffrey on the radio. Jeffrey is British and has a marvelous British accent. Although what he says will make no sense at all, he will say it with a British accent, and it will sound like he knows what he's talking about. So, Kerry, with this being our inaugural show, and since our purpose is to educate our audience, we need to start with our word of the day. What's our word of the day?
The word of the day is inaugural.
That's right, inaugural. To make it easy, our word of the day will be a multiple-choice question. So, does inaugural mean A, this is the first time we've been on radio and we don't have a clue of what we're doing? Or is it B, this is the first time we've been on radio and they don't trust us to do this live? Or C, this is the first time we've been on radio and Jeffrey is already in the studio trying to shut this thing down? Or D, is it all of the above? We'll give you the correct answer at the end of the show, if we make it that far. And one final note, if you have a question for us and you call us this morning, the person at the switchboard can't put you through to us. So until they let us go live, just email us at themortgagemoment@gmail.com. That's themortgagemoment@gmail.com. We'll answer you personally. And if your question stumps us, we'll write back with a British accent so you think we answered your question. Now, Kerry, on our inaugural show, what's our topic going to be? Needs to be a good one. We only get one shot at a first show, so let's not mess this up. What are we going to tell our listeners about this morning?
We're going to tell our audience about the different sources they can go to obtain a mortgage and the pros and cons of each source.
Well, great. And what are the sources available for getting a mortgage?
That would be a bank, a mortgage bank, and a mortgage broker.
So let's tackle the subject of going to a bank, first of all, for your mortgage. For most of us, a bank might be the first place that comes to mind. And in the more distant past, all mortgages were made by banks. Kerry, what are some of the characteristics of bank lending?
Well, banks lend their own money and they set their own terms. They also underwrite their own loans and make the final decision about whether or not you qualify. Because they're at risk in the transaction and they're lending their own money, they make their own decisions.
That's right. So the first question when you walk into a bank and you sit across from a bank loan officer, the first question he is asking himself is, why should we not lend this person a few hundred thousand dollars? In other words, the bank has to approach a mortgage loan from a position of risk because they're lending their own money. And this is why when you're sitting in front of a bank or when you're sitting in the bank in front of a loan officer, you feel like there's a bit of an adversarial relationship. You feel a little uncomfortable. And you definitely feel scrutinized. Now, you know, you shouldn't feel that way. You're actually the bank's customer. If you weren't there to borrow money, well, the bank would be out of business. But instead of feeling like a customer, when it's all over, you might even feel like the bank has somehow done you a big favor by even giving you a mortgage loan. And it's just because of the nature of the relationship. The bank is protecting its own interests, and it's looking out for its own well-being. And you, the borrower, represent a potential risk to their interest. So a bank has to scrutinize you. And that's why you feel that inherent adversarial relationship. Now, the guy that you're sitting across the desk from, the bank loan officer, he'll be friendly and he'll greet you in. And yet he's not the one who makes the final loan decision. Even when you walk into a bank, the guy that you're talking to across the desk is not one who will tell you whether you can get your loan or not. That will be in the hands of the bank's underwriting staff. And the underwriter is the one who takes all of your information, all your credit information, your income information, and decides whether or not you get the loan. One of the issues with a bank is that if the bank's underwriter has decided that you're not going to get the loan, well, there's really no appeal at all. That's the end of it as far as the bank goes. You've been turned down. You can't get the loan. And if the bank turns you down, they don't have any other options to give you because they've already made their decision based on your information, and that's it. So if the bank does approve of your loan, and let's say the underwriter says, yes, you look good, we'll give you this rate and these terms, what happens to your loan then? This is kind of an interesting thing most people are not aware of, but banks, in lending their own money, and think about it this way, if the bank had $10 million to lend and they made 100 loans for $100,000, their $10 million would be all used up, and they wouldn't have any way of lending anybody any more money. In fact, this was a common problem, particularly right after the Second World War, when all the veterans came home and started buying homes and starting families. There was actually a shortage of funds available in the local communities to be loaned out. So the government addressed this with two institutions that they set up at first as government departments. One was called Fannie Mae, and the other was called Freddie Mac. And the purpose of Fannie Mae was to actually buy the loans from the bank after the loan had been made so that the bank's liquidity was restored. In other words, the bank would lend out that $10 million, and once their money was exhausted, they would sell that $10 million worth of loans to Fannie Mae, and all of a sudden they've got $10 million to lend again. And it provided a source of liquidity. Freddie Mac did the same thing in those days for the savings loans. So federally chartered banks would never really run out of money to lend on home mortgages, and the savings and loans the same way. They would restore their liquidity by selling the loans to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Well, in today's world, the same thing still happens. The bank that originated your loan would eventually run out of money if they kept lending, and so they turn around and sell the loans to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. This keeps liquidity in the whole mortgage market, keeps the wheels greased and everything rolling, and the banks are able to continue lending. However, when the loans are sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, quite often the entity that services your loan, in other words, where you make your payment, is no longer the bank that originated your loan. It used to be if you made your loan at the bank, got your loan at the bank, you made your payment at the bank, you could walk in and do it. That's not always the case in this day and time when the bank makes a loan. Quite often the bank is not the one who will service your loan. This provides some people with some bit of discomfort because you start off working with your local bank officer who you know. You end up with another company that you don't know, and your servicing is done remotely quite often, which you have payment options. But you don't have the ability to literally walk into the bank, make your payment, and walk back out. So an experience with a bank, in summary, might be that, yes, you can get a loan if you're qualified. No, you might not get the loan, and if you don't, the bank really doesn't have any other options for you. Yes, you get the loan, but you thought you were going to be able to walk down to the corner bank and make your payment. And sure enough, you can't do it because they've sold the loan to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, and you find yourself dealing with a company that you don't know a lot about. So sometimes a bank experience can be good. Sometimes it can be bad. Sometimes you end up with local servicing. Sometimes you don't. I hear some strange music, and I think they're going to cut us off here. We're going to go to a break, but when we get back, we're going to talk about mortgage banks. These are a different type of company altogether than a bank. They still lend money. You can still get a mortgage there, but they're quite different. So we'll see you on the flip when we get back. And we're back. Carrie, we survived the first 10 minutes.
I know. I can't believe it.
It seemed like 10 hours. I'm exhausted. I'm going to try to make this next segment, but this is quite a bit of work.
I hope you're planning on hazard pay for me.
I've got combat pay ready for you. It will be, your check is in the mail. And we're from the government, and we're here to help. All right. So we're back, and we're going to talk now about mortgage banking. We talked about federally chartered and state chartered banks and how they're an option if you want to get a mortgage. There are also some other options, and the next category comes from mortgage banking companies. I want to, before we get into this, just remind you that if you have any specific questions, don't call radio station because they don't trust us to do this live. You can't get us, but you can email us your questions at themortgagemoment@gmail.com. We'll answer you personally. You can even call us on Monday when we're back in the office at 864-235-9596. A real person will answer your phone, not a robot, and will answer your question personally. So let's get into mortgage banks. A second option, if you're going to get a mortgage, is to go to a mortgage bank. Well, where are you going to find one of those? You'd probably be surprised that mortgage banking is probably one of the larger sources for mortgage lending. When you hear the name Countrywide, that was the largest mortgage originating entity in the country prior to the crash in 07. They were a mortgage bank. Quicken Loans is a mortgage bank. So they are a legitimate and available source for getting a mortgage. How do they operate? Well, a mortgage bank is a corporation. They are similar to a bank in that they lend money for home purchases and refinancing, but they are not a federally or state regulated bank. So, Carrie, how is a mortgage bank then different from a regular bank, apart from the fact that they're not federally chartered?
They only lend on housing, and they don't do any other types of consumer lending.
That's right. They're completely specialized. Their only lending is on real estate that is secured by a mortgage loan. What ways are mortgage banks the same as regular banks, Carrie?
Well, they lend their own money. They underwrite their own loans.
Yep.
They scrutinize the borrower as a risk.
Yep.
And in the end, they still sell their loans to Fannie and Freddie.
Fannie and Freddie, the great vacuum cleaners of the mortgage industry, sucking up everybody's loans into huge pools of risk bonds. So if you go to a mortgage bank, what's your experience going to be like there? Now, sometimes, given Quicken and some of the others, you might be on the end of a telephone rather than sitting in someone's office. You're in front, again, of a loan officer. Now, that person on the phone or the person at the other end of the computer is not going to be the one who makes your loan decision. But that person also is a window into a world of risk. That is, a mortgage bank is lending their own money. And so a mortgage bank is in the same position of risk that a bank is. It's their money. If you don't make the payment, they stand to lose. So the result of going to a mortgage bank is often the same thing that you encounter in a regular bank, and that is you experience some degree of discomfort because there is inherently in a mortgage bank the same adversarial relationship. The same question has to come up. Why should we not hand this guy a couple hundred thousand dollars? So if you get turned down at a mortgage bank, again, once you've given your application to the friendly loan officer at the end of the phone or on the other end of the computer, he doesn't make the loan decision. He sends that to the mortgage bank's underwriting department, and there, deep in the dark recesses in the caves, the underwriters lurk, and they make the decision of whether you are worthy or not to receive your couple of hundred thousand dollars. Unfortunately, with a mortgage bank, again, if you're turned down, there aren't any more options at the mortgage bank. That's it. So you're stuck, or at least in that relationship, it's not going to go any further. You're not going to get your mortgage from them, and they're going to turn you down. So a mortgage bank, while it is probably as large a source of mortgage financing as banks are, is not inherently any different in the borrower's experience than going to a bank. And, you know, it's funny. You talk to people over time, and we put our office actually downtown in the historic district. We're in a house, and we're kind of in a non-institutional setting, but it never ceases to surprise me how many people come in, and their immediate comment is that they don't feel threatened. They feel comfortable. It doesn't feel like they're in a place where risk is being assessed, where the question is being asked suspiciously whether we should lend money or not. There's just a greater comfort level, and there's some reasons for that. As we move to a mortgage broker platform, we're going to talk about how the relationship that exists with a mortgage broker is quite different than the relationship that exists with your bank officer or your mortgage bank loan officer. So, again, with mortgage banks, just as with banks, quite often what happens is that the mortgage bank or the bank itself is only going to sell their paper to, or sell your loan to, one entity or the other, to either Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. So there are underwriting differences that arise in both of those institutions. What Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac did in the mortgage industry in order to buy the mortgages from the banks, they established minimum underwriting standards. And in order for the bank to sell your loan so that they replenish their liquidity so they can lend again, they have to meet those minimal underwriting standards. Now, the bank is able to overlay Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac's underwriting conditions. That is, they can add to the conditions. They can be more stringent than Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac might be, but they cannot be less stringent, or the loan can't be sold. So most banks and most mortgage banks are what we call one-channel sellers. They are either going to sell your loan into the Fannie Mae system, or they're going to sell it into the Freddie Mac system. You might never really know which it is. There would be nothing on your loan papers that might indicate one or the other, but it simply is their outlet may be one or the other. And because of that, because of the slightly different underwriting conditions that might arise with a bank or with a mortgage bank, you might find yourself being turned down when very easily one of the other entities might make the loan. So, Carrie, let's talk about maybe so our listeners know what kind of differences might arise between Fannie and Freddie. Let's talk about that. Let's say you have a bank who is a Fannie Mae seller, and you apply for a loan on a rental property, and all of a sudden you're turned down. Why might Fannie Mae turn a loan down that Freddie Mac would?
Well, they don't look at rental income in the same way.
So they use a different system to give you credit for rental income?
Exactly.
I see. So, again, with one or the other, one of these channels allows for you to take the net rent income from your rental property. That's your gross rent after you subtracted all your expenses, and you get net rent, and they let you use the net rent to offset the mortgage payment. Now, that has the effect of eliminating the mortgage debt in your debt ratios. So under one channel, you might be able to own up to 10 rental properties before you swamp your debt ratios and can't buy anymore. With the other channel, it's quite different. Rather than letting the net rent offset the mortgage payment, the channel adds the gross rent, the net rent, to your income, but still keeps the mortgage debt as a debt. And most borrowers under that scenario probably cannot acquire more than two or three rental properties before they swamp their debt ratios. So, again, you might have the experience of going to an institution, a bank or a mortgage bank, and they simply say, you know, we can't do your loan. I'm sorry. And you don't know why. And you don't realize that there might be another option entirely. Had you been with a Freddie Mac channel instead of a Fannie Mae channel? What other differences might exist, Kerry, between Fannie and Freddie where it would make a difference, the institution you're dealing with?
Well, they don't always look at self-employed borrowers the same way and how many years they have to average your income.
And income averaging is huge for self-employed borrowers. We see this all the time. The standard underwriting procedure under one channel is to always average the last 2 years net income from your business. But what if you had a great year last year and the year before that was just down because of some quirky thing that happened? You didn't have as many sales as you thought you would, or maybe you held over a sale from 1 year to the next just for tax purposes, and all of a sudden you don't qualify because when you average your income. Well, the solution to that, and if you've been turned down under that channel, you actually have an answer under another channel, and that Freddie Mac, for instance, will allow under a streamlined accept underwriting to allow you to qualify with just the most recent year's self-employed income. Now, the risk assessment for that, for getting you to that level of acceptance where you can just use the 1 year, involves slightly higher credit scores, slightly more down payment. But nevertheless, you may have an option when you thought you didn't have an option. So we're going to go to break in a few minutes. But when we come back, we're going to talk about a platform, a mortgage broker platform, that actually allows for all bases to be covered. The basis of a Fannie Mae channel, the basis of a Freddie Mac channel. It also allows for the participation of multiple lenders who basically are in the market competing for your loan. So, again, when there are more people looking at your loan, you're going to get a better rate, better structure. You may have particular underwriting issues that one channel, Fannie Mae, may not be able to address. And Freddie Mac may very well be able to address.
And best of all, we navigate all that for you.
That's exactly right. I heard that strange music again. That means Angelo is going to cut us off. But when we come back, we'll be talking to you about the mortgage broker platform. Try to put this all together for you. See you on the other side. Thanks for holding on. Glad to have you back. We're going to move on to the third source of mortgage lending. Kerry, you think we saved the best for last?
I think so.
How did that happen? We're going to talk to you about a mortgage broker platform. The mortgage broker platform differs significantly from mortgage banking and a banking platform. And in trying to explain to people what a mortgage broker does, it seems like the best way I can help people understand is to say that a mortgage broker in the mortgage industry is a little bit like an independent insurance agent in the insurance business. For example, you have State Farm. They are a specific insurance company, and their agents are specifically State Farm agents. So you go to State Farm agent, he's selling you a State Farm insurance package. He can't sell you Travelers or somebody else's. But out there in the marketplace among insurance agents, there are independent agents. They, when you present them with your insurance needs, can respond with Travelers, with Nationwide, with any number of different insurance outlets for your insurance needs. Well, a mortgage broker is not too different from that. Mortgage broker stands at the junction of the local market. He is the interface of the local market and the customer, with behind him a vast array of independent mortgage companies. Some of these are mortgage banks, some are banks. So you say, well, then why should I go to a mortgage broker? I can just go down to the bank or the mortgage bank. Well, we're going to get to that. There's some real important reasons that a broker can assist you. Let's talk about some of the differences between a mortgage broker and a banking or mortgage banking platform. First of all, a mortgage broker does not lend his own money. And you say, well, gosh, that's not too good. How am I going to get any money? Well, the mortgage broker, again, is your conduit to the lender themselves. But here's what happens. A mortgage broker, because he is not lending his own money, is not having to make a risk assessment in the lending relationship. In other words, his first question is not, why should we not lend this guy money? That's the attitude at the bank or the mortgage bank. That's what creates the adversarial relationship because it's a risk assessment. But the mortgage broker's first question is, how do we go about getting this loan done? That's just a completely different relationship. I sometimes tell people it's like, okay, when you go to the bank, the guy's sitting across the desk from you, and the desk is between you and him, and he's usually a big desk, and so you feel small, and so the relationship feels skewed. And the guy sitting across the desk is looking at you and scrutinizing you and saying, why should we not lend you money? The mortgage broker is like the guy across the desk who walks around, sits down beside you, puts his arm around you, and says, hey, let's go get this loan done. It's just a completely different relationship. Now, a mortgage broker is not magic. He can't violate the underwriting standards of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So it's not that he can do things that are illegal or wrong or shifty or anything else. It just means this, that the borrower has, in reality, an advocate in the lending underwriting system. The borrower has representation throughout the underwriting process. And that can make all the difference in the world right there from the get-go. Carrie, of the loans we submit to lenders, what percentage do you think the underwriters initially say, oh, we can't make this loan?
Oh, probably about 30%.
Yeah, I'd put it at the same thing, 25 to 30%. Now, these are loans that you and I have gone through all the automated underwriting procedures. We've made sure they meet all the criteria for the loan.
And usually we've explained it all up front.
Yes. and put a beautiful summary of the loan in the underwriter's hands that we think that they shred and don't ever look at. But even with loans that are perfectly fine, that are going to make it through the system, the first response we get is, no, we can't do the loan. Why? Well, gee, they read something wrong. I mean, underwriters are human beings. They have to look at tax returns, pay stubs. They have to look at debts. They have to look at bank statements. They have to look at funds. A thousand things they look at. And quite frankly, you know, they just sometimes skip over something. Or more likely, when the file went into their system, somebody divided up a document from another document. There's just something missing. But nevertheless, they come back to us with a turndown. And of those 30%, Carrie, that get turned down, how many of those do you think we get done in the end?
Probably about 99%.
Yeah, exactly. Because we do all the pre-screening. We know what the regulations are. We've been doing this 29 years. So we know when a loan can be made and when it cannot be. And what so our job is then to find out, well, what is the underwriter not looking at? What have they missed? So the great thing is the broker, that's us, we have the interface with the underwriter to say, we try not to say, what in the heck are you talking about? What in the world, are you crazy? We don't say those things. But
we have that southern charm. We can ask that question in a nice way.
We say, honey, bless your heart. Bless your heart. Why did you turn this loan down? And usually once we find what the issue is with the underwriter, it's something we've already addressed. It's something that we've already put in the file, and they just haven't seen it or they haven't looked at it. Or sometimes they didn't look at it right. And occasionally, again, you know, human beings are human beings. The underwriter just doesn't understand the mortgage guideline anyway. And,
you know, to their credit, and most of my experiences on the lending side, they have a quota that they have to meet per day. And unlike when you're with a broker, when you're with a lender, it is more of your file is a number instead of the human being on the other side of the file.
Yeah.
So they are doing the best they can to get through what they have to get through. But because they can't see you and meet you,
yes,
it's not the same kind of relationship at all.
No, and I think that's a huge part of the advocacy that we bring. We bring the personal to the table, and we take on the task of showing the underwriter where the strengths of the loans are and of getting the loan approved.
So if I come to you as a customer, how much more do I have to pay you to take care of all this stuff for me?
You know, that's a great question. We get that asked always. As a mortgage broker platform, it would be uncompetitive if fee structures and rate structures were different. One of the advantages we actually have as a mortgage broker is that we have multiple lenders, and that's good for the different kinds of programs. We'll talk about that a little later. But it's also good that we've got a bunch of lenders competing for the same loan, and so rate competitiveness is not an issue. But if we skewed our fees just to give you a better rate, well, that's kind of misleading. We might look good on paper, but in reality, we've charged you a lot more to get the same rate. But that's just simply not the case. We structure our fees in an identical manner that the banks and the mortgage banks do. And that means you can pay an origination fee if you want to. And get a particular rate, you can choose to not pay an origination fee, and usually for a quarter higher rate, you have no origination fee. Or you can say to us, Mark, I want to buy my rate down. I'm going to be in this house for 30 years. I'm going to buy the rate. So you can pay discount points, just like you can at the bank or the mortgage bank. So one of the keys to the mortgage broker platform is providing this borrower advocacy and this representation without it costing anything. And quite often, really, in all honesty, getting better terms with the broker platform than you might get at a bank or a mortgage bank.
I would say 90% of the time, we're able to beat the rate quotes of the banks or the mortgage bankers. So it works out really well.
We do. And, you know, I encourage my clients. My best client is one who knows he's gotten the best deal out there. So once we've quoted someone, it certainly doesn't hurt our feelings very that to be checked out.
No, we definitely encourage that. We want you to make the best decision for you. And if that's not with us, that's okay.
And we'll get you where you need to go if we can't do it ourselves. Additional items about a mortgage broker beyond the multiple sources for rate competitiveness. These multiple sources allow us to have access to literally every mortgage product that is available on the market. Now, we mentioned that there are Fannie Mae channels and Freddie Mac channels. So as a broker, we employ Fannie Mae channel lenders and Freddie Mac channel lenders. And up front, we screen you for which way your loan should go. Sometimes it doesn't matter, but sometimes, as we mentioned with rental property owners, self-employed borrowers, it makes all the difference in the world. So we're not going to start you down a Fannie Mae channel if we need a Freddie Mac channel to get your loan made. So we've got the advantage of having both those covered. We also, there are many other types of mortgages, and I'm sure you've heard of some of those. There's FHA, which is Federal Housing Authority. There's VA, which is Loan Programs for Veterans who are purchasing or refinancing houses. There are USDA loans. Those are for homes in a more rural setting, the federally designated rural zones. USDA is 100% financing. We have those channels. So effectively with the broker platform, we are able to blanket the industry. I hear that strange music again.
I know.
Where
they
does
keep
that come
cutting
from?
Us off.
Where does that come from? When we get back, we're going to talk about some of the specific programs that are available through the mortgage broker channel. We'll tell you about FHA, VA, USDA, and a whole lot of other letters when we get back. Well, time is flying. three out of four segments, we're down the home stretch, Carrie.
Whew,
it's amazing.
This has been tough.
How have we been able to talk this long?
Don't forget, you can always email us questions at themortgagemoment@gmail.com or call us at 864-235-9596.
Thanks, Carrie. We welcome your questions. We welcome your contact. If you don't need a mortgage, we're happy to help you with anything in regard to a mortgage. So just give us a call, shoot us an email, and we'll respond to you personally. We want to talk a little bit more about the broker platform. And before we move on to the vast array of different mortgage products that are available, I'd like to kind of talk about some of the tools that a broker brings to the table that are an enormous help, an enormous assistance in being able to let a borrower know, number one, that there should be no issues with their loan, or number two, hey, we've got these particular things we need to address, but we're going to address those up front. One of the worst things you can do to an underwriter is surprise them. You just don't want to surprise an underwriter, because the reaction to an underwriter, if you surprise them, is they'll take the safe route, shut it down, and say, no, we won't. So maybe your loan profile has a particular area of weakness. Maybe you're stretching a debt ratio. Maybe you've got a complex set of tax returns. We will, with the tools we have available, we can identify all of the strengths and weaknesses of your loan up front, let you know right away, hey, don't worry, this is all going to pan out just fine. Or we will tell you up front, we can get your loan, but it may take some effort because we've got this particular circumstance that we have to deal with. So what are those tools? Carrie, what would you say our biggest upfront tool is that we can use to assure a borrower that they're going to be good in the underwriting process?
Well, Fannie and Freddie both have their own automated underwriting systems that are linked directly into our loan software. And with a click of a button, we can put your loan through and see if we get that automated approval. And that gives us about a 90% comfort level that we'll be able to close your loan with the lender, provided we can give them all of the information that we put into the automated underwriting system.
That's right. Prior to the crash in 07, the automated underwriting tools came into existence in the mid-90s. Was the first time as a broker we had really a window into all of the various risk assessments that the underwriter does. Once the automated systems had been in place for a year or two, they moved very quickly to where if you had an automated underwriting approval, the human underwriter could actually not reverse the computer's decision and had to make the loan as long as the information that we had put into the automated underwriting turned out to be accurate. So, you know, if a borrower said, well, I make $60,000 a year, if it turned out he made 50, yeah, the human underwriter could turn it down. But if the borrower told us I make 60 and indeed he makes 60, the underwriter could not turn the loan down. Now, after the crash, they changed that a little bit. They went back to a human-based underwriting platform. However, they still use the automated system as a guideline. And in fact, it's relatively rare for a human underwriter to turn a loan down that has an automated underwriting decision. So one of the things we do up front is take your application information, our software integrates your credit report into that. We submit that electronically through either Fannie Mae's automated underwriting system or Freddie Mac's automated underwriting system, and we get a loan decision. And with that loan decision, the great thing is this, whether it approves it or it doesn't approve it, it rates all the various strengths and weaknesses of the loan. Now, let's talk about, Carrie, a potential weakness that might result in a turndown that we might then turn into an approval by addressing.
Well, what if my debt-to-income ratio was a little bit too high? Mm-hmm. And for the beginners out there, what is a debt-to-income ratio?
Well, debt-to-income ratio means what percent of your income does it take to make your house payment. That's what we call your house ratio. That's not supposed to exceed about 28 to 30% of your gross pay. And then there's a second ratio that adds all your other debts into the new house payment. adds it with the new house payment and says what percent of your income is it going to take to service all your debt once you buy this house. So there's two debt ratios, and yes, although there are stated ratios, there are also the capacities to stretch those a little bit, but if you stretch them too far, all of a sudden it's a turndown. So the automated underwriting system would identify that the issue with the loan is debt ratios. You've stretched them too far. So we might address that by saying to the borrower, hey, you were going to put 5% down, but let's put you on this 3% down payment. We'll use the other 2% to pay off a little bit of debt, get your debt ratios in line, and we get an approval. We can actually run that scenario through the automated underwriting system without your actually doing it. So we don't send you down a wild goose chase saying, go do this, and we got you a loan. We actually can do the scenario through the computer system and then have you go do what it says to do.
Well, I've been paying on this car loan for almost 7 years now, and I've only got 3 payments left. Do we really have to count that in there?
Right, and there are some programs that allow, if you have less than 10 payments left on an installment loan, to ignore the debt entirely. Others require you to count it, even if you have remaining payments. So again, we might slot you from one program to the next, according to the automated underwriting. Another thing that comes to mind with me that can make a big difference in an approval and a turndown is reserves. We find all the time, and reserves is basically what, Carrie? What does a lender consider reserves to be?
Leftover money after you have put down your down payment that will stay in your bank account.
That's right. So let's say you've got a $100,000 purchase, you're putting 5% down, that's $5,000. If all you had in the bank was $5,000, once you buy the house, there are no reserves. And there are times where, for instance, if your credit score was a little marginal, maybe you're young, and credit scores start out low because you don't have a credit history, so maybe you're young. You have stretching your debt ratios a little bit, and you got the 5% down, but the automated system says, no, can't make this loan. The automated system will say, additional reserves may increase the strength. So what do? Well, we just plug those in by computer. You don't have to say, I've got the money. We actually just put it into the automated decision, and we can identify how much in reserves you might need in order to change your turndown to a loan approval. So we do these things all the time, but we do them up front. We do them on the computer. You don't actually have to do them until we tell you to do them, and then we know we've got a loan.
And that way, the underwriter never knows that you even had an issue in the first place.
Well, and that's exactly right. One of the high turndown rates that we see is if we get turned down initially for a legitimate reason, it's very difficult to go in and shore the loan up after the fact. You're almost better withdrawing, starting over with a new lender who hasn't been prejudiced by their previous looking at the file, and we get it done that way. But yes, this allows us to do everything up front. We go in with the automated underwriting decision as an approval. As Carrie said, that gives us about a 90 to 95% chance that the loan's going to be approved by a human underwriter. It actually has to be something very exceptional the underwriter has to not like for them not to follow the automated system. So the broker tools up front, the automated underwriting systems, there's one for Fannie Mae, there's one for Freddie Mac, there's one for FHA loans, and there's one for VA loans, and one's for USDA loans. There's one for all kinds of loans. What are these different loans? Well, what we generally call conventional loans, those are loans that are ultimately sold to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They're highly standardized. They are relatively low-risk loans, meaning if your credit is in real good shape and you've got a little more than normal down payment, conventional is usually the way to go. Whether you go conventional Fannie or conventional Freddie, well, we help you decide that when we look at your profile. But there are other programs, many other programs, even within the conventional family of loans. There's, for instance, a Home Ready program that Fannie Mae has, a Home Possible program that Freddie Mac has. These are first-time home buyer programs. Some of these programs allow you to put slightly less down, 3% instead of 5%. With some of them, the PMI structure, that is the mortgage default insurance, is cheaper. Again, a lot of different choices within the conventional family. But then there is FHA. FHA is kind of the go-to loan for a slightly lower credit profile. slightly less down payment. They're rated as slightly higher risk loans, but the rates are good. The PMI is provided by the government, so it's a little bit subsidized and isn't quite as expensive as conventional mortgage PMI. What are some other loans we've got, Carrie, other than FHA and conventional?
We have a USDA loan, which is for houses in federal designated areas.
And we've got VA loans for veterans. Each of these loan programs have their own automated underwriting system, which we have access in all cases to all the different underwriting programs. We can provide multiple platforms and multiple options. We can run you through all of these automated underwriting programs and say, here are your options. Let's choose the best one to go with. There are, beyond FHA, VA, USDA, which are the government-insured loans, and beyond conventional loans, there are jumbo loans. That's for someone who needs a loan where the loan amount exceeds $453,000. There's also reverse mortgages, which we'll get into in a future program, which is a completely different type of mortgage product that is designed for people who are 63 years of age and older, provides a mortgage financing for either purchasing or refinancing, in which there's no mortgage payment at all. So all of these various programs each have their own underwriting systems. We have those systems so that we can give the borrower a lot of comfort in knowing that their loan is going to be improved. We've covered a lot of ground today. We've talked about banks. We've talked about mortgage banks. We've talked about the mortgage broker platform. Hopefully, we've stimulated your minds to ask questions. You can reach us again. Where, Carrie?
TheMortgageMoment@gmail.com, or you can call us at 864-235-9596.
We have made it to the inaugural end of our show. The answer is D, all of the above.
All of the B above for sure.
All of the above. We've survived, and we'll see you next week. In the meantime, call us or contact us.